The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Ten oh one, second hour of the show. Randy Corporan with you on a beautiful Saturday. High today of 58 degrees, 45 tomorrow. We won't see 50s again until Wednesday. Good day to get out, have some Colorado fun. Hate to keep a war hero on hold, but just really, really quick. Neil's been waiting a long time, and this story is happening right now. Drag Queen Story Hour in Lafayette, the Lafayette Library, 775 West Baseline Road. Starts at 11 o'clock, and Neil, you wanted to weigh in on that real quick. Neil? Well, we'll put Neil on hold. Maybe we can get him after we talk to Teague. Really want to encourage folks to go out there, make a presence, see what goes on. Check out this website, dragqueenstoryhour.org. Look at the terror on the face of the toddler who is being introduced to this drag queen. I can't believe they put this up as their front page picture. And if you can't make it over, at least call the library, 303-665-5200, 665-5200. I loved the idea, the suggestion from Alexa. We need to have a good guy with a gun, soldier, law enforcement, an American hero that saves lives utilizing their firearm. See if the Lafayette Library would let us have a story time afternoon or morning for that. And I think we already know what the answer is. But right now, time for very serious conversation. And if you read the book, saw the movie, The 13 Hours of Benghazi, I've done both. I've had the joy of emceeing a Lincoln Day dinner where one of the heroes, Chris Tanto Peranto, was the headline speaker. I've met Mark Ozgeist at, I think it was at a gun event. I don't recall exactly. And this next guy, a Colorado hero who lived through the decisions that were made by Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration during the 13 hours of Benghazi, is kind enough to join us this morning. John Teagan, good morning, sir, and welcome.
Hey, morning. How you guys doing?
We are doing great. And before we jump in, I just want to tell you how much it meant to those of us at the Arapaho Tea Party and all the folks that we're lining up to stand with ICE on our 921 rally. You driving up, I know you live down south, a long drive. You came with your family to support us when we made the decision on whether we were going to go ahead and have that rally. And your presence there just meant the world to all of us. And what made that important enough for you to drive a long way with your family for a Tuesday night?
Well, I mean, something like that, it kind of affects us all. And the left, I don't know, they just can't really see it, but, you know, just standing up for our law enforcement, because, you know, they put their lives at risk every day. And, you know, they're trying to protect us from the illegals coming in here, obviously illegally. And I just think it's important to show that presence. And I just wish I'd have another event. I could have came to the actual
protest. You were out of town, I remember. But you know what? Get me, or I'll talk to Jeff. I'll get an address. I want to make sure you have a 921 button. We had an anonymous listener drop off two bags of buttons, one for the Labor Day Stand with ICE rally, one for the 921 rally. Just dropped them off at my office. Some lady, don't know who she is. I've thanked her 1,000 times, but she won't identify herself. And I'd love to send you a couple of those just to add to your collection. It was very important what you did that day for us, and we're grateful.
I appreciate it.
I can't imagine the reaction that you have when something goes on like the attack on our embassy in Iraq several days ago now, and immediately the response from the left, this is going to be Trump's Benghazi. You lost two of your brothers. Tyrone Woods died. Glenn Doherty died. Others died. you and Tonto and Oz survived, violated orders to take heroic action to try and save American life. What do you think when you see the left really misusing that word, that moment of your life?
You know, this is I believe it's like the third time they tried to do it. I know the first time they tried it was the Nigeria one when the Special Forces guys got attacked. You know, it's, again, the biggest way I can say they're trying to compare hockey to curling. I mean, there's no, the only thing that's the same is they're on ice. I just kind of laugh. I mean, they already withdrew all the embassy personnel, including the ambassador. So right there tells you it's not another Benghazi. They have Marines that are there. They have reinforcements coming in within an hour. So that tells you it's not even close to Benghazi. You know, the only thing I would say that was similar would be that the fact that the host nation abandoned us in our time of need again, which that's what happened in Benghazi. The host nation is out there to protect the outer walls, protect you against attacks, and they abandoned us there, and they abandoned us again in Benghazi. So it's that's the only way you can compare the two. Other than that, there's zero comparisons.
I thought about making this as an audio clip to play on the show today. I didn't get around to it, but I watched the explanation that Hillary Clinton gave at a hangar, I think, as bodies were coming in, standing at a dark, it was just a dark looking room, and she was at a podium, and she was talking about how an internet movie led to this horrific and unforgivable attack on our diplomats in Benghazi. And you knew that was a lie at the time. These were the people that, you know, you swore an oath to obey the commander-in-chief. Hillary Clinton, in her position at the time as the Secretary of State, was a part of implementing policy. How do you, as an American patriot, even justify to yourself following some of these orders? I guess you didn't. I mean, you ignored orders to try and save American lives that day. You said enough's enough.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we don't have to follow the order of the president, or because we were contractors, we weren't active duty military, so it was definitely a little bit different. But I know the direction you're taking. But yeah, it's you know, she said that to the families, and you know, right in front of their face. You know, they didn't really tell them exactly what happened. They just lied to them. You know, they lied to the families, Ambassador Stevens, of what happened to them. And it's, you know, it's just, they're just disgusting people. And for anybody that sits there and wanted to believe that it was a protest before we even came out and talked, I mean, you're too gullible. I mean, the protest doesn't happen at night, and it doesn't happen without media. And they normally do not bring AKs and RPGs to a protest. So, I mean, just the fact that it happened at 9:30 at night and there's no media should have put a little bell above your head going ding, ding, ding. It's not a protest.
And, you know, when you are there as a private contractor, you're still taking the direction of following the lead of the orders of the military commanders who are there. And were there military men and women who also joined you or wanted to join with you and Oz and Tonto?
No, see, we follow the command of pretty much our team leader and the chief of base.
Okay.
There was no military personnel down there at all. There were military personnel that were stationed up in Tripoli, but we don't fall underneath their command, chain of command whatsoever. That's what makes us different. That way the agency, they can control where we go and how we go. Because if we're under the chain of command of the military, there's too many red tape that they have to go through to deploy us properly, I guess you could say.
Even your private commanders were saying stand down, though, correct?
Yes. Yep. The chief of base told us to stand down. You need to wait.
Now, what was the situation? We saw how quickly when a decisive president whose focus is saving American lives, establishing American dominance and strength when needed anywhere at any time around the world. I mean, there were thousands of Marines headed in. There were helicopters buzzing the crowd, you know, within minutes or less than an hour, as I recall, of the protest and the fire starting at this last attack on one of our embassies. And my reading of what was going on in Benghazi is, had the order been given, we could have had similar support and saved at least some lives during the 13 hours of Benghazi.
Yeah, Ronan Bub definitely would have been alive if they had responded the way they responded in Baghdad. The only thing that would have saved Ambassador and Sean Smith would have been if we left immediately, or if they would have had better security that they're asking for, requesting for in 2011.
Well, all right. So let's turn our attentions to now. Obviously, you're not on the ground anymore. I'm sure you're well connected. You follow these things incredibly closely. What is your assessment of how Donald Trump responded to the situation in Iraq this last week?
I think it was a great response. I mean, he did exactly what should have been done. The military did exactly what they should have did. Nobody was told to stand down. You can't go. They had the proper security set in place prior to the protesters even showing up. You know, they evacuated all the embassy personnel prior to the protesters showing up. You know, if they would have did the same thing, because people forget 8 hours prior to Benghazi being attacked, there was embassies around the world being protested and overran by protesters. Right then and there, they said, well, if this base over here only has five security guys and they have a U.S. ambassador, pretty much no security on the perimeter of the wall, maybe we should evacuate him, get him out of there, fly him back up to Tripoli. You know, they didn't even have the foresight to even do that. You know, the response was, you know, way better. The training for the State Department guys have gotten better. They got a better training facility. You know, it's just, you know, again, there's the way they compare it, it's kind of disgusting. And then, you know, they want to compare it to Benghazi. They want to do this. All Trump, you know, he's failing. Then he goes and actually hits the guy who coordinated the protest, and then they're protesting him killing the guy who actually killed hundreds of Americans and was behind the protest or the attack on the embassy. I mean, there's just no way to make the left happy. I mean, there's nothing he's going to be able to do. They're always going to find some way, somehow, to discredit anything that he does.
We're talking with Tig Tegan, one of the heroes of the 13 hours of Benghazi. What was your knowledge level of General Soleimani?
I think it's Soleimani. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. It's anyway, Soleimani, I believe that's how it's spelled anyway. But even back in Benghazi, during Benghazi, what was his status? What was your awareness of his actions, his intentions, even back during Benghazi days?
You know, I mean, he's been a bad guy. I mean, he's the one, you know, the Quad Force, they're the ones who improvised the IEDs, made them more effective so they can penetrate armor. So, you know, Iranians are directly responsible for killing hundreds of Americans, maiming hundreds of Americans. You know, they're responsible for mortar attacks in Basra, Iraq. You know, they had a Quad Force, we call them the Red Crescents, actually came into Benghazi prior to 9/11, and that's a whole other subject. But, you know, so they were kind of down there. There's rumors that, you know, they were trying to plan an attack on the consulate. They actually ended up getting hemmed up by another militia and got kicked out of Benghazi. And they're only there for like a week. So, I mean, the Quad Force, I mean, they've been around us since, you know, pretty much the siege of the embassy in Iran. And, you know, the dude, he's just an evil guy. I would almost say he's worse than Osama bin Laden because of his reach and his power. I mean, he's got way more reach than bin Laden did. He's got way more, well, he had way more reach and way more funds because, you know, he has the Iranians to back him. So this is the best thing that could have happened. Is there going to be repercussions? I mean, that's a given. There, no matter what, no matter who. I mean, they try to hit us again when we killed bin Laden. It's going to be the same thing. It's just they're not going to just stand by and, you know, let one of their generals get killed and not expect anything. And for the left to sit to say, oh, Trump doesn't know what he's doing. He has nothing planned. He has nothing prepared. Well, I'm pretty sure they knew when they made a decision they're going to hit him. They knew there's going to be retaliation. Now, was it going to be? Who knows? Maybe more, you know, cyber attacks. Could be more attacks over there. I mean, they're pretty sure there's sleeper cells here in the United States. You know, but with our Homeland Security the way it is, how they've been ramped up since 9/11, is it possible? Yes, but I mean, look how many we've stopped. I mean, not all of them get reported, but we have stopped a ton of potential terrorist attacks that the public doesn't even know about.
Talking with Tig Tegan, and he was there in Benghazi, private contractor. He ignored orders to try and save American lives. You can see the movie, read the book. The story is absolutely incredible. John, what do you say or what do you think when you hear people, Tucker Carlson last night, people on the radio, Rand Paul or others who, you know, setting aside the history of U.S. military interventionism or whether it was a good decision to go into Iraq in the first place or not, just putting all that behind us, living in the world that we live in today, with an Iran that says, you know, death to America, death to Israel. We're going to continue to work on our nuclear armaments. We sponsor terrorism all around the world. What do you say to the folks that say, bring them home, get everybody out of there? You lived it. You were there. You chose to be there as a private contractor. What do you know now that maybe your opinion has changed over the years? I don't know.
Well, I mean, obviously you don't want our guys over there. The problem is if you take them out, if you just, you know, just abandon, just leave, you just come home. The problem is it's just going to become a hotbed for more terrorists, training camps, preparation, and then they're going to have the chance to actually come to the homeland. You know, they'll end up in all the other Western countries actually doing attacks like they did on 9/11. You know, if you just... You know, it's like opening the floodgates on the U.S. border. Say, well, we're just going to abandon it. You guys do what you want. Well, stuff's going to start happening, and it's going to get uglier because, again, they're just going to have free reigns to do what they want. Look what happened last time we pulled out of Iraq. I mean, look what ISIS did. I mean, they just marched right all over the whole entire Iraqi army, you know, who had tanks and attack choppers and jets. And, you know, all they had was, you know, little tiny F1, I would just give F-150s, but a lot of smaller trucks, I'd say S-10s, and they just overran the whole entire army. I mean, hopefully the army's a little bit better trained, but I don't see it. I think if we pulled out, the exact same thing going to happen again, and you're going to find people actually really locked in cages, burnt alive, you know, drowned inside cages, mass, you know, decapitations. And that's the problem when you pull out of countries like that. I mean, I don't want to be the world's police force, but again, you're gonna fuel the flame, and it's just gonna get bigger because you just let the wildfire go. I mean, again, I would love for us to pull out and just say, you know, screw you guys, because I've said it a couple times, like, you know, why don't you do it yourself? But they can't because they've lacked honor, they lack leadership, and they lack discipline. I mean, it's until they get those three, they're never gonna have it.
John, I want to encourage folks to follow you on Twitter at John Teagan. It's T-I-E-G-E-N, Tig Teagan. And you've got an organization going now, the Teagan Foundation. People can check it out at teaganfoundation.org. Yep. What's that all about?
It's called Beyond the Battlefield, the Teagan Foundation. And, you know, we try to do what we can for veterans and first responders. You know, we've helped a couple with houses. Our main goal is to try to get service dogs, but... You know, we paid bills for veterans. We've gotten, you know, veterans' homes, like, remodeled. We paid for food bills. You know, whatever we can do, we're going to do it. And we've even helped, you know, veterans that have been dishonorably discharged. It depends on what the discharge actually was. But, again, you know, people do mess up. They screw up. You know, we're not going to hold it against you. But we're going to, you know... We're going to try to help you as much as we can if we can do it. And if we can't, we'll help find somebody who can. So that's our main goal. I mean, I've been working around a lot of foundations and a lot of veterans talking with them. They'll say, well, I called this group up. And they said, well, I'm not a war veteran, so they won't help me out. And they wouldn't even guide them where to go. And I was just like, man, that's just wrong. So, but we just try to do what we can when we can, no matter what it is. So.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I want to encourage everybody, go to the Teagan Foundation, T-I-E-G-E-N, theteaganfoundation.org. Check all that good work out. Follow Tig on Twitter. Great stuff. In fact, after we let you go, I'm going to play the clip that you have. In fact, you know what? Why don't you just stick around for 1 second and listen to this? You put this up on Twitter. I'm so glad you did. Joe Biden, creepy Joe, came out and said he opposed the raid to kill Osama bin Laden. So Trump War Room never lets a Biden lie go by. And you retweeted this. I want everybody to hear it. This was Joe Biden back in 2012.
You can stop an imminent attack on Americans, but you have to use an airstrike to take out a terror leader. Would you pull the trigger?
Well, we did. The guy's name is Osama bin Laden. And weren't you? Didn't you tell President Obama not to go after Bin Laden?
I didn't.
That was in 2020.
He went around the table with all the senior people, including the chiefs of staff, and he said, "I have to make this decision. What is your opinion?" Mr. President, my suggestion is don't go. My suggestion is don't go. Don't.
It just, the guy is nonstop, and it's. I'm so glad that you're out there sharing it. I'm sure you are an avid supporter of President Donald J. Trump. I hope we can have you on periodically, especially if you have something going on in Colorado where people can get involved. And Tig, I just want to thank you again for everything that you do for us last year with Stand With ICE, for your heroism in Benghazi, and for continuing to be a voice for freedom and American strength. Very, very grateful to you, sir.
Yeah, but I would just like to say also add one more thing.
Yeah, please.
That's about it. You know, we had a chance to get Bin Laden back in the 80s, and the Democrats pretty much did the same thing. They said, no, we're not going to get him. And look what happened years later. Now we had more people. I mean, Bush had a chance to get Soleimani, and so did Obama, but they all denied to do it. And look what happened to the American troops in Iraq. You know, now we got a president that actually says, no, I'm not going to let this go anymore. And he hits him. He has a chance to hit him, and he hit him, and he hit him hard.
It's hilarious. So, and the left wants us to think that it's because he's afraid of impeachment.
Yeah, I mean.
He's fundraising off of impeachment, idiots.
Yeah. No, this is supposed to be a distraction from the impeachment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, okay. I don't know how it would be, but whatever. If this distracts you from the impeachment, you got a very small mind.
Well, I think I made this promise to you the last time I had you on the air that I wouldn't mispronounce your last name, John Tig Tigan, and the TiganFoundation.org. I've checked it out. You're doing great work for vets, and thank you very much again. I hope you have a great weekend and a very happy New Year, sir.
You too, sir.
All right. So we're going to spend some time in open lines, 303-696-1971. Before the end of the hour, I want to grab Pat Neville as well. He is the Colorado State Republican House Minority Leader, also did two tours of duty in Iraq. We'll get his take on the goings-on of the last week, the leadership of the President of the United States. And when we come back, I am going to read to you. You just won't believe it. In fact, finish your breakfast. Make sure you have a strong stomach or a trash can nearby. I'm going to read to you the statement of the Lafayette mayor. Thank you for that, Leslie. The statement of the Lafayette mayor on Drag Queen Story Hour at the Lafayette Library, 11 o'clock today, 775 West Baseline Road. If you can get there, please do. There's going to be a prayer vigil, it sounds like, also. And if you can't get there, 303-665-5200 is the phone number for the library, 665-5200. Man, oh man, what next in our beautiful state of Colorado? All right, we do have to take a pause. 1023, Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Never before have I turned on you when you look too good to me. Your beady eyes that can cut me in two, and I just can't let you be. But it's a free for all, and a heart is dead. You can bet your life. Stakes are high.
Wow, that fades. We gotta re-record that and leave it hot until it gets to the riff, because it's just so good. Remember when we had Ted Nugent out for the fundraiser for Weld County Sheriff Sanctuary County Leader Sheriff Steve Reams. And so I was getting Ted Nugent on the radio a whole bunch, and he said he really enjoyed doing the interview. So I'll have to reach out to him again this year and get him on, even if he's not coming to Colorado for our sheriff. He's just such a great advocate for defending our God-given rights to self-defense. And so anyway, I always get fond memories when we hear some Ted Nugent bumper music roll across. Coming up on 10:30, almost halfway through the show already. Our brand new time, 9 to noon now, locked in for 2020. I'm Randy Corporan. So good to have you along. And it has just been absolute insanity what's going on with this Drag Queen Story Hour. Drag Queen Story Hour in Lafayette, I almost said Louisville, sorry Louisville, in Lafayette, 11 o'clock at the Lafayette Library, 775 West Baseline Road, 303-665-5200, 665-5200. And you can call the library if you can't make it over there by, say, 1045 or so. And if you go, be cool. Bring your cell phone. Don't hesitate to record what's going on. Do not, you know, try not to take pictures of kids. That's not what we're after. But what does it look like? What does it feel like over there? I just can't imagine that it's a positive place for people to be. And Leslie had sent me the statement by the Louisville mayor, and it has now disappeared from my phone. Maybe we'll get it over. Yeah, it doesn't look like it. So I'll try and pull that up and read it. We're going to get with Patrick Neville here in just a couple of minutes as well. Two tours of duty in Iraq, as I recall. He's our state house minority leader. So we can talk about Colorado and national issues as well. But I just think it's so important for people to speak up and speak out. Share your feelings. If you think I am homophobic, hate gay people, want to do harm to people who are struggling with gender identity and all of those things that are now a thing, please go back and get the first hour of the show and listen to the podcast. Listen to my opening remarks. That's not what this is all about. But I'll tell you what, when the website for Drag Queen Storytime has on the front page, proud of it, a picture of a young toddler, looks like a little girl, could be a boy dressed as a girl. I mean, who knows? With somebody mom age down there encouraging her. The look in this child's face is absolutely terrified. She looks terrified to me. And if you scroll down, they talk about capturing the imagination and play of the gender fluidity of childhood and giving kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. Drag Queen Story Hour, fun and important program that celebrates diversity and the way that children may dress and act, encourages children. Did you live in a house where if you wanted to play dress up or clean the house? I used to like to dust the piano when I was a little kid. I don't remember if I put on an apron or not, but I didn't have any doubts about whether I was a boy or a girl. And it seems like gender dysphoria, the actual medical diagnosis, is real for people. I get it. I don't disrespect it. But I object to you, those of you who want to make this a thing for children and force it down their throat. Celebrate diversity in the way that children may dress and act. Encourage children to look beyond gender stereotypes and embrace unfettered exploration of self. Look at the picture of this little girl on the front page of their fundraising website. It's outrageous. And Bruce just texted me and said that he's been trying to call the library a couple of different extensions. There's no ability to talk to any live person. He left a message and said some nice things about me. We won't get into those, Bruce. I will send you your check later, I promise. Texter says, why not go fill up the library parking lot? And I agree. I really agree. That's why I mentioned this right out of the gate at 9 o'clock. If you can get to Lafayette, even if you're late now, get on over there, 775 West Baseline Drive, Baseline Road in Lafayette. Why not fill up the library with people who care about our children, then fill the reading room with backs turned in silent protest? Great idea. I understand, if I can find the mayor's statement again, he was talking about a prayer vigil, that there's going to be some evil and angry religious zealots out front holding a prayer vigil. This is what they think of you. This is how they describe you while they're trying to get into the minds of tiny, tiny little children. It's absolutely outrageous. And we have Patrick Neville now. Pat, obviously, when we were texting last night, I didn't think about this being a topic, but you've got kids. Drag Queen Story Hour at the Lafayette Library today at 11 o'clock. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's rather disturbing type of ordeal. We actually had some of that happening in Douglas County, and some of the things they were doing, it was more than just a story hour. They were doing almost burlesque shows for the kids at the Douglas County Event Center, and it was pretty gross. I mean, regardless of transgender or whatever. I just wasn't a place for kids, and it just seems like that's what they want to do, is almost shock and awe people. And if you are somehow shocked by it, then of course they're going to turn around and call you a racist or a homophobe or a bigot, which just isn't the case.
Well, you're so right about this. If you look at the videos that get posted on Twitter, online, and elsewhere, it's like a burlesque show. And, you know, I saw the front page of the Denver Post, the young person who was the first to take advantage of the law that now allows someone to go back and recreate the certificate of their birth, to change it to reflect the gender of their choice. It's not an amendment. It's not an update. It's not a historical record of their decision. It is actually changing biology, changing history by getting a new original birth certificate that says that they're of the other gender. But to that person's credit, they weren't dressed up in a sexy way. They weren't in your face. Whatever they're going through in their lives, they took advantage of this law. It looked like a sophisticated young person. That's not what this is. Drag queens. Drag queens. I mean, the drag queen that's showing up in Lafayette, the last name of the person is Blow. The stage name, the last name of this person is Blow. Tell me that they're not trying to sexualize and confuse and just simply upset our kids. I've asked, and we've had a lot of full lines, but there's lines open now. Any parent who thinks that this is a good idea or wants to explain why they support it or why they're participating in it can come to the front of the list, because I want to hear it. I absolutely want to hear it. Right now, in 24 minutes, children are going to be taken to the library for story time, and the story will be read by local drag queen Shirley Delta Blow. Now, isn't that inspiring for the Roaring Twenties?
Yeah, that's something else, that's for sure.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to suck you in. I've just been worked up about this, and the texts and the calls have been crazy. Still waiting for the caller that supports it. I just want to hear it. I want to understand it better. But we've got you on for a different reason, and hopefully we can maybe keep you through the break, because there's two things I want to talk to you about. Obviously, the next session is starting next week. There's going to be a rally in support of the Colorado State Legislature, kind of a message being sent to the legislature next Wednesday, 11 o'clock on the west steps of the Capitol. We'll talk about that and what people can expect. But you are someone who served. You were a boot on the ground. You were in combat. You've watched. You were old enough. You're a young guy, but you were old enough to be paying attention. Were you serving during the period of Benghazi?
No, I wasn't. Quite a little bit before that.
Okay. All right. Well, am I right? You did two tours?
I did a year over there, and I was all the entire year was focused on the Sauter City region, so it was pretty intense.
God, yeah.
For some of the listeners who may not know where that is, if you've seen American Sniper, which is a pretty popular movie, those final scenes with the barriers, that's the region I was in.
All right. Well, so you've seen what it's like on the ground. You have studied our past and our history and seen, for instance, how, you know, Bill Clinton on the golf course, four shots he had at Osama bin Laden, never took them. We saw the ultimate result, 15 years later, 13 years later. Barack Obama finally took the shot on Osama when he had him, and I commended him for that. I didn't criticize him or think it was an election. Even if it was an election strategy on his part, which is possible because this was revenge. This was a revenge killing for a wanted terrorist for something that was done years and years before. What President Trump did was a proactive action to stop someone who not only had just caused the death of an American, been responsible for missile attacks, been there in Iraq to help foment this attack on our embassy, but of course was planning other deadly and destructive actions around the world. And the president saw his shot and he took it. What's your perspective on all of that?
You know, I think it's a great strategy, actually. If you take a look back and we rewind the tape and look at Bill Clinton having four chances on Obama and not taking any of them, that's probably a big reason why I ended up in Iraq and had to be over there, you know, away from my family. had he taken that shot, that probably doesn't even happen. The war never happens. And so I think Trump made a calculated decision this time, and I think it was the right decision. And I think his intentions are true, that he doesn't want war, and he's doing this as a way to prevent war. But this guy's been a bad actor for over 30 years. I know all the people I was fighting in Iraq in the Sadr City area, and the soldier that I lost was due to the EFP IEDs that he was sending over from Iran. So Soleimani was behind all of those weapons that were killing our soldiers where I was serving, and then he hasn't stopped. I mean, he was actively there. What's an Iranian general doing in Iraq during an embassy siege? There's obviously he was there for sinister reasons, was plotting more attacks, and Trump did the right thing and defended people. And quick, decisive action rather than trying to deploy, you know, hundreds of thousands of people to the region to do nothing and no clear objective. This was quick and decisive, and he eliminated the threat.
Yeah, boy, I couldn't agree more. We are up against our break, and there's a call I want to squeeze in. Are you okay for another segment?
You bet.
Do you want to wait, or you want us to just call you back in about 5 minutes?
I can hang on.
All right, we'll stick Patrick on hold. Reason I wanted to get to Tricia right away before the break is because she is on the way to the Lafayette Library for the Drag Queen Storytime Hour starting at 11 o'clock. Tricia, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts this morning?
Hey there, Randy. Well, I noticed that they always try to characterize our objections in religious terms, and that allows them to marginalize that as antiquated. Oh, this is just a religious objection. But we need to be clear that there's nothing religious about the observation of male and female, and that the fact that every cell in a given person's body contains the chromosomes for his sex, that is a long-established scientific observation. There's nothing religious about it.
Well, absolutely. And, of course, you know, I've found the statement now from the mayor of Louisville, call to action this Saturday, time to fight hate and support a diverse Lafayette, y'all. Turns out our third drag queen story time at the Lafayette Library this Saturday is being targeted by a large Denver religious organization who will be holding a prayer vigil rosary outside of the library at 10:30. So that's underway right now. It also appears to have tipped off a horrible hate group who fights these events. And I won't read the whole thing right now, but that's the leadership that we have in Louisville or in Lafayette right now. And I'm so glad that you and others are going to have a presence there. And I assume your purpose is peaceful. You're not looking for a fight. You're going to stand
sure.
in
no.
solidarity for
Great.
Our kids and not exposing our kids to this garbage. I hope you will send another text to the studio. I can get them when I'm not on the air, or reach out to me personally so maybe we can talk next week about your experience today.
Okay, will do. Will do.
Thank you for doing what you're doing, Trish. Appreciate it.
Bye now.
This is not about hate. All right, we're late on the break. Let's take it now. We'll have Patrick Neville on the other side. Some great texts are coming in, other callers on the line as well. And in the 11 o'clock hour, Ken Buck, both hats, congressman looking ahead to impeachment and the 2020 legislative session. Also, he's chair of the Colorado State GOP. We'll be looking ahead for what we can expect right here in beautiful Colorado. 10:43 on a Saturday with Randy Corcoran at 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
I'd love to listen to the music, and it just makes me sick to my stomach. We have to talk about this stuff. So much big and important activity going on in the world. We'll get right back to Patrick Neville in 1 second. Listener sent in a text. Apparently Channel 9 did a story on Shirley Delta Blow. There's a great stage name. Teacher during the week, drag queen by night. And I went and looked at her website. Journey through different decades of music, fashion, and pop culture. Performances by Zara, Brody Danger, Dixie Crystals, and Jessica Lahore. Right there with Shirley Delta Blow. That is exactly who I want sitting down to read stories to my children. And another texter went to the website, dragqueenstoryhour.org, and pointed out one of the other pictures right there on their front page is a kid next to a really scary looking drag queen with a forcing a smile. It looks like a forced smile. But what I was so caught by, dragqueenstoryhour.org, is the tiny little person dressed as a girl, who knows what it is underneath, terrified. You can just see the terror in that young toddler's face as he or she is being exposed to the drag queen. And we just got to stop. I know everybody wants to call. Lines have been full. 303-696-1971 at 11. We're going to spend just a few minutes with Ken Buck, talk about impeachment, the 2020 legislative session, and Colorado in his role as Colorado State GOP chairman. But we will definitely save a ton of time in the 11 o'clock hour. I would love to hear from anybody who's at the library in Lafayette, your thoughts, your observations. So please be ready to report in. We could have done the entire show on this today, but it's so important what's going on. And Patrick Neville served in the Middle East. He now serves in Colorado as our state minority leader for the Colorado Republicans. You guys fought so hard, so well, in so many different ways, using the tools you had, since you're outnumbered, to try and slow down bad things from happening. You've already given us kind of your perspective on Donald Trump's handling of Soleimani. But now tell us what we can expect as we move into the 2020 session, and also whether it means, what it means to you guys if people do in fact show up on Wednesday, 11 o'clock, west steps of the Capitol, to remind the legislature that we're here and we're paying attention.
Right. So I think my first bit of advice to everyone is the session starts Wednesday at 10 a.m., so keep a tight grip on your wallet at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, because I think the Democrats are coming after it. And I think what we're going to see is a continuation of the Democrats ignoring the will of the voters. So we saw it, you know, last session with the voters overwhelmingly defeated the setback initiative that was on the ballot. And then what did the Democrats do? They came and basically did the same policy that had the same effect that the setbacks would have had. Again, ignoring the will of the voters. This time, we had referendum CC go down in flames. The voters, you all clearly said, we want to keep our money. We want you to stay out of our pocketbook. We want you to do better with the money we already send you. We want you to prioritize. But what are the Democrats doing? They're trying to scheme and plan different ways to take more of your money. They're going to probably try to do things like raise fees on different items instead of calling it a tax, which it should be a tax. But they're just looking for all sorts of different ways to take more of your money. And then the biggest one and probably the scariest one to me is, even though we had Amendment 69 that was on the ballot a couple of years back and was overwhelmingly defeated by the voters, which is single payer, the Democrats are now coming back with what they're calling a state option. And this is going to be a plan that's run by the government. It's going to be offered on the exchange in Colorado. Here's the problem with it. Through a state option, they can force hospitals to take this insurance, which private insurance companies can't do. And they can also force hospitals to say what price they're going to do and put price caps on the hospitals. And so the plan right now they're talking about doing is tying to Medicare rates. So hospitals are going to then have to charge private insurance plans more to make up for those costs. And then eventually the private insurance plans are going to go away. In Colorado, we're going to be left with one health insurance plan, and that's going to be the state option run by the government, which is a quick path to single payer. I say if this passes this year, probably give it 2 years and we're going to have single payer in Colorado.
Scary stuff. It all starts Wednesday at 10. Concerned citizens, please join us. It looks like I'm free on my schedule to be there 11 o'clock Wednesday, January 8th, west steps of the Capitol. Let's just show up and remind everybody who are now going to be making decisions for us underneath the Golden Dome that we are watching. And we are waiting for election time, November 2020. Show the support for the great Republicans who are there fighting for us, like Pat Neville. And Pat, as always, I thank you for your time. I know we'll be talking a lot as we move through this particular year. What is the one-stop place for folks to go to find out what's happening, action items, that sort of thing?
Well, if you go to takebackco.org, we can sign up there, and that's where we'll give you updates on things. And it just, thanks to everyone who's planning to show up to the rally. Things like that do actually help. It helps me as a, you know, the leader of the caucus to inform the caucus that they're not alone. There's citizens out there that support what we're doing, and so those late nights can be worth it, and all the different procedural tricks and stuff that we're doing, it's worth it because we're fighting for those individuals. So thank you for showing up, and thank you for supporting us, and thank you for reminding the Democrats, too, that you guys are watching and listening, and that we can't keep letting them ignore the will of the voters and then go unpunished the next election cycle. We conservatives win when we have the votes on the actual issues on the ballot. We win time and time and again, but we haven't done a good enough job connecting our candidates to those issues, and that's what we need to do a better job of.
All right, it's Take Back Colorado, but it's takebackco.org, takebackco.org. Pat, we'll be talking soon. God bless you, sir. Thank you so very much. Happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year to you too, Randy.
All right. Let's. I know we're late. We need to get to the break, but Karen's been waiting. She has a granddaughter with a drag queen for a teacher. Karen, only a couple of minutes, but please do tell.
Oh, yes, Randy. Thanks so much for everything you do. And we were home. It's out of state. We were home visiting our grandkids and come to find out that our granddaughter, she's a freshman in high school, came from a Catholic school and is taking geometry, which was recommended for her to take, but she's not doing well in it. In fact, she's doing terrible. Well, come to find out that her teacher comes to school with a bunch of makeup, especially blue eyeshadow. And my daughter looked up the Facebook, and sure enough, he is a drag queen. And so she doesn't want to go to this teacher for help. And it really concerns me. I'm just at a loss as to what, as a grandparent, I can do. But I was so frustrated when I heard about it. And I think it's becoming more of a thing that you know, it's going to become a more of a normalcy in a way.
Well, that is definitely the intent, and since it's too late to go there now, unless people are close, Lafayette Library, 11 o'clock, 775 West Baseline Road, you can still call. No live person is answering, but you can leave a polite but serious message that this should not, we should not be using taxpayer dollars for it, and we should certainly not be foisting this on our children. 303-665-5200. 665-5200 is the library number. I encourage people to take action. And I'm still waiting. You'll go to the top of the list if you are a parent or anybody who supports this Drag Queen Story Hour. If you support it, I'd just love to hear from you and hear why. 303-696-1971. Karen, God bless you. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Randy. Same to you.
All right. We do have to go. Top of the hour break. Congressman and Colorado State GOP Chairman Ken Buck on the other side. We'll keep it short with Ken so we can finish the hour with lots and lots of your calls. Line them up now, 303-696-1971. Randy Corcoran with you on 710 KNUS.